O Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Last time, on the first of the snowy Sundays, we studied the preface, that glorious hymn of thanksgiving to the Creator, sublime beyond all description, representing our Lord's teachings by word and example, which are symbolized by the words of the priest, Sursum Corda. He lifts up his hands towards heaven as he tells us to lift up our hearts in the same direction. Now, our blessed Savior confirmed these teachings of his with miracles. Only God could do such wonders, raising the dead, cleansing lepers, and healing at a word a servant who is grievously tormented with his illness. The centurion, being a military man, understood this, the chain of command. Our Lord has only to issue the order, and it will be carried out. Besides, he's a pagan, not worthy that our Lord should enter under his roof. The centurion has his miracle from the Most High God. This brings us to the Sanctus, when the priest says thrice, Sanctus, 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 holy, three times, denoting, St. Vincent Ferrer says, that Jesus Christ worked miracles not through human power, but in virtue of the three persons of the adorable Trinity. And in the Sanctus, he says, Hosanna, twice, to demonstrate that Christ worked miracles both of soul and of body, but both so that he might save souls. That's the point. Hosanna is a cry of supplication as well as an acclamation of adoration. The leper and the centurion exemplify both sentiments today. There is this spirit so evident in the preface. Today's saint, John Chrysostom, a great defender of Catholic Orthodoxy in the East, said about the Sanctus, it's a marvelous gift of Christ. On high, the angelic choirs sing glory to the Lord, and on earth, after their example, they sing in choirs. In heaven, the seraphim sing aloud, thrice, holy, and on the earth, the same canticle resounds. During the preface, the priest gets to thinking about angels and his own weakness and insignificance in the sight of God. As he prays the preface, he ascends, remember, past the choirs of angels, the thrones and the dominations and the powers, right up to the throne, and it strikes him, the thought. So he stops his stammering song, and he interrupts what had been a carefully prepared speech, thinking to himself, I'm no good. I'm not worthy. How can I praise? Who am I to thank the Most High God? And so he calls upon the angels. He's been just now passing up the ladder to heaven. The seraphim, they do it for a living, full time, to take up the joyful strain right where he leaves off in the Latin, supplici, confessione, dicentes, saying with suppliant praise. He leaves off as if weighed down by the grandeur of his functions and the sentiments of his own unworthiness. And so everything goes down. He lowers his hands, his head, his shoulders, his voice is reduced now almost to a whisper. And he says, Sanctus. And if there are other clerics assisting him, they recite it quietly together, making a choir of priests for a moment. At High Mass, the symbolism is clearer. The priest passes the praise back to the choir. They'll have to continue. He can't. They must be the angels now as they take up the song. And so the Sanctus, as well as the Gloria, another great choir piece, is sometimes called the angelic hymn. The Sanctus is often the Bible, of course. You know that the majority of our Catholic Mass is scriptural. Saint John saw it at the end of the Bible, Apocalypse, and Isaiah saw it in the Old Testament. The throne, the angels, the majesty of God, holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, all the earth is full of his glory. Why three times for the Sanctus? Why, it's the superlative, meaning the most, the complete, the highest. The highest what? Holiness, because Almighty God is holiness. The threefold Sanctus, of course, also reminds us of and adores the Blessed Trinity. Now, in the Old Testament, there are traces of the Trinitarian doctrine, but they're vague and somewhat quiet. And so at a low Mass, the priest is whispering. But in the New Testament, the revelation is made clear, and thus the choir is singing. But who is the threefold Holy One? The Lord God of hosts, that means of armies. The Hebrew is Sabaoth. This is the first of two untranslated Hebrew words in the Sanctus of the Mass. Lord of armies. An army is meant to represent, in the theoretical order, power. Power to overcome any obstacle. And the number of angels who serve in this army, 1,000,000, were seen by Daniel. And for every one of these, 1,000 others were standing there before him. These are the angels who do God's bidding, who drove Satan down into the pit, and who protect men from the devil's wiles. And heaven and earth are full of the glory of God. The heavens, that means with their countless stars and planets, and this earth, so small, gets chosen despite its size, God always likes the little, to manifest the ultimate miracle of God's mercy, that this earth should be watered with his blood and peopled with his adopted children, his brethren, destined to take the thrones of angels vacated of late by Lucifer and his rebels. Destined to this earth of ours to house God himself, in the little tabernacle. Then comes the first Hosanna, and suddenly it's Palm Sunday. And there we are. We've got a palm in our hand and we're waving it. And everyone's escorting the Messiah into the Golden Gate to Jerusalem, crying out in exultation, "Save us now!" Just as the priests used to at the Feast of the Tabernacles, acclaiming Hosanna. It's Palm Sunday, and our Lord is going into Jerusalem to to die. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He will soon be the host on the altar, slain and sacrificed for our sins, and even more so a second time as we cry out, "Save us now, Hosanna." But who can pray Palm Sunday's Hosanna without remembering the same crowd turned traitor by Friday? Still in awe, it is a moment of triumph, and we must rejoice, and nothing must silence our bells. Oh, about the bells. They're rung three times at the Sanctus. It's always in threes at Mass for the Trinity. I sometimes have to remind the altar boys about that, two times, but always three. And if not three, then it's just one. One bell for each time the Sanctus gets said. The bell is meant to stir up, the rubrics say, our attention and our devotion. Here it marks the beginning of the second principal part of the Mass, the canon, or the consecration. At low Mass, the bell tells you to kneel down and adore with angels because God is coming. And then at low Mass, the server, after he rings the bell, goes and he lights another candle called a Sanctus candle in the old rubrics of the Mass in homage to our Lord, who will soon be upon the altar. But at high Mass, we're already standing, and the priest hands off the work of praise to the choir, and the great chords of the organ come in, and you couldn't miss it. The bells ring, and on Sundays, the usher will go back and ring the tower bell, and that will chime in, frequently they say in a different key, but it's all the same to me. And then the servers come in this way, the torchbearers, as it were, to light the Lord's way down to his altar at the consecration. There used to be seven torchbearers for the Pope's Mass in Rome, and they were all subdeacons. It's a triumphant, solemn moment, any way you look at it, bells and all, and nobody could miss it. The Sanctus is the Palm Sunday of our Mass. But Monsignor Knox has a different idea about the Sanctus bell. He sees it as a kind of a doorbell. Read over the preface again with all the references to angels. And then we hear at the end of the preface the angel singing Sanctus. And the feeling is we've just now arrived at the door of heaven. And we can look through the big old-fashioned keyhole in heaven's gate, lean forward and listen to the singing going on the other side as we do at the procession on Palm Sunday morning. So we ring the bell just to let the angels know we've arrived and asking to be allowed in. Oh, no, we don't have an appointment, but we do have a duty, after all. There's a place for us, you see, appointed one day among the angels. And one day, we'll enter in and take our place, and we will be welcome, even, as we welcome him today under our roof, though we're not worthy. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.